I'll be honest with you, Justin. One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you was because of something you kind of let slip at Social Media Marketing World. And I went, huh? And I think you said something along the lines of, well, you know, voiceover artists are now being cast because of the number of followers they have on social media. And I went,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Right. That's right.
Tell me about that. So how does that work?
Well, I'm not here to make a declaration about that per se, but I have heard that, you know, we all know that image and marketing is everything when it comes to how many eyes are on something. So if you look at it from a network's perspective, if you look at HBO or ABC, any of the networks, or even cartoons, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, all of these shows, they have discovered, just like we have, that social media is the way to reach people. So if you have an audition from actor A and you have an audition from actor B, they're both pretty good. But if you want to cast somebody and actor A has 3 million followers and actor B has 100 followers, the producers may go for option A because they have a better chance of getting their show out there and recognized.
Wow. That blows my mind, but it makes total sense.
And right.
Before we go any further, I just want to introduce you to the podcast listeners. I'm talking with Justin Baker, the owner of Fuzz Social.
Yep.
What is Fuzz Social about?
Yeah, well, it's funny. The fuzz thing came from, it's a nickname I got in college because of my facial hair, my beard, as you can relate with, right?
Right.
So whenever I started a photography business, that was kind of like one of my first businesses in college. And I chose the name Fuzzy Image because it was kind of a contradictory statement. And it got people's attention. And some people to this day still call me that. I think some previous guests you've had on the show from Fletch Digital, they call me Fuzz too also sometimes. So,
oh, really?
So it just kind of locks in. So I just decided, since social is what I'm doing in media, so I decided from Fuzzy Image Media was what we were called. And we just recently made that switch to Fuzz Social because we're mainly focused on social.
You're not the only one who's been kind of tagged with a name that stuck, and maybe you want to, maybe you don't. You know, a lot of people ask me, why do you go by DP? And the answer is, well, I kind of did it at one job one time because there were, I was going to be the fifth David in the group. So they said, you got to have a nickname or we'll choose one for you. So I said, just kind of flippantly, go with DP. Well, it stuck, and then it stuck professionally. And when I tried to change back to David, which is my given name, it just didn't work because people could not call me that. And I almost think there's a lesson in there when it comes to personal branding, which of course we're talking about here on this podcast. And that is, you can want all you want to have people call you a certain thing. The fact is, they get a vote. And that vote may countermand your vote. And, you know, that certainly sounds to be kind of true with what you're doing.
Yeah, I had the same experience. There was a group of friends of NR. We all had nicknames for each other. And they gave me mine and it stuck. And to this day, some people still call me that. So I decided to loop it into my branding personally. And it's actually some of my closest friends to call me Fuzz. So you got to start calling me Fuzz now, DP.
Okay, I will. Well, here I am. I'm talking with Fuzz Baker about what he's doing. You know, and I got to admit, you know, we've known each other a little bit from social media marketing world. We have mutual friends and now have become friends because of it. You know, he talked about already Alex and Todd Austin of Fletch Digital in Sydney, Australia, who've been on the podcast at least a couple of times now. And so that's one of the funny things is we met for the first time at 2019's social media marketing world. And then we met again at 2020. And that's kind of how it goes, which is you meet people, you see them the next year, you're a little bit closer as friends and things like that. And it just rolls from there. But you don't know a lot about my background, but let's just say I went to USC to get an MFA in acting a long, long time ago.
All right. Right down the road from me.
Yeah, well, exactly. And it didn't stick. I'm here to tell you, it didn't stick. However, what we do share in common is the understanding that to make it as an actor, especially in Los Angeles, requires a titanium ego and a real understanding of who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And especially being able to communicate that very quickly via, in your case, you know, your client's case, in like seconds in an audition or via a headshot or via the reputation that precedes you into the room. Because let's face it, a lot of that casting is already figured out ahead of time and we're just kind of seeing if there's anyone new out there.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is, I mean, I've learned a ton. I mean, I did not come from this realm. I mean, I actually, I have a degree in voice performance, actually. So I was an opera singer and singing in choirs and things like that. And I taught music for quite a bit. I was a public high school teacher teaching music. And then I kind of landed over here and did this social thing, which is kind of a long story in itself. But following these actors around has taught me a ton about how all this works. And specifically, I tend to work with people in the voice actor realm, which is completely different from those that work on in front of the camera. Because actually what you get is a lot of the on-camera actors are focused on their appearance because that's really what sells them. I mean, someone might want someone, let's say we want to have this person or that person because they've seen them in other things. But from a voice actor, you may hear them in something and not even being aware that it's them. So you're getting really like this plethora of voices out of one person, and it really stretches their ability of what they're able to do. So it's just recently when social media has become such a important part of our lives, but also the lives of PR and entertainment, that these voice actors that are previously kind of anonymous now have the need to be known, not just for their cartoon characters, but for their faces. So I'm approached a lot by these actors that need to bridge that gap. And so that's kind of my challenge.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today, and let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
Well, that's really interesting. And if you need to have that proven, all you need to do is search the good old internets for something like Comic-Con and look up the names of any animated shows that you might enjoy, anything that might show on Adult Swim. It could be anything from standard cartoons to Japanese anime that's revoiced into English by American actors. And you'll see entire panels of these actors in front of thousands of rabid fans who are delighted to see the real faces of the voices.
Yes.
But they already know their faces because they are literally rabid fans.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah.
So are there any names that the audience might recognize that you work with on a regular basis?
There are some that I'm not allowed to tell you. And then there are some I work with. One that probably everybody is familiar with. His name is Carlos Alazraki. He is a stand-up comic. He's also just recently was launched on a new app you may have heard of called Quibi.
Right.
That just recently launched this month. He's on Reno 911. That was a popular Comedy Central show years ago that's relaunched on Quibi this season. And he's also a prominent voice actor. So he's been the Taco Bell Chihuahua, the Yo Quiero Taco Bell dog.
Oh my God, Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
That's right. He's Rocco's Modern Life. He's the voice of Rocco and Spunky. He's done tons of other Nickelodeon cartoons, and he's always working. Cat Dog, he's been on Hey Arnold, Laszlo, Camp Laszlo, the list goes on. But he's one of my prominent actors that I work with. I just got off the phone with him, actually, right before your podcast.
Interesting. One of my favorite that he has voiced is Mr. Crocker from Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. Yes, he got an Emmy nomination for that one.
Yeah, I mean, and you listen to his voices, and he's got tremendous range. And then, I'm sorry, I have watched Reno 911 when it was on TV, but that was like almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have an idea of what he looked like. So right before we got on, I hop on the internet and see a picture of him and go, that's what he looks like?
Yeah.
But that's exactly what voice actors do, which is it's not about what I look like. It's what I sound like and my range. Because what a lot of people who don't do voiceovers don't know is that when you're hired as an actor, the more range you have, the more jobs you can get, even on the same day. Like if you can walk in and spend an hour doing character X, and then also character Y later in the day, and you know they don't have to worry about bringing in another actor, and you're really good and you're professional, you can do multiple characters in a single day without a problem.
Yeah, and that's pretty often that will happen with voice actors, especially. You may do two or three roles in the same episode. I have one client that has done all, three characters that all were talking to each other in the same scene, but they were all the same voice.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, different character voices, but all from the same person, from the same actor. So you will often have that where you'll play a old man or a baby or a girl or a boy or a monster or whatever it is. And so, you know, I hear Carlos a lot in interviews tell people that it's really about, if you're going to have this widely ranged show and you want to have all these characters in them, it's like working with professional jazz musicians.
Right.
Like, okay, yeah, I can give you this, I can give you that, I can give you this riff, and you can get it done in a quick amount of time. I mean, I come from the film world. I've done a lot of film and television work and production, and you probably are aware of movies and television days can often be 10 to 12 hours or longer for a work day. But a voice actor session can be an hour to 3 hours, and they just get it in there, get those little lines in, and they're done. So they need something that's quick and go through the day so that it can get the animation going. So it's a little bit of a different workload that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it definitely keeps you on your toes, because you got to come in there and you've got to be able to sound like your character sounds all the time, regardless of the weather, regardless of the humidity in the room, all those things. So it can be very difficult. So when you work with people, voice actors like that, what types of stuff are you doing for them socially via social media that allows them to project their brands in a way that can not only potentially get them gigs, but really attract fans and keep fans' attention?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting, first of all, I'll say the question I get the most, and probably what people are wondering the most, is if you're interacting with these public figures and actors on the social media channels, is it really them? And the answer to that is absolutely it is. They know, they're aware of everything that happens on there. And part of my job is just to manage the traffic that comes in and out of those platforms. So if you think about an actor's day, besides the fact that they're, you know, Carlos has a family, he's got two daughters and a wife, and he's taking one to soccer practice and karate practice. So besides the actual life that they're living, they're also doing hundreds of auditions. Then they're going in recording shows, being on set, getting things done, going to bed, getting up, doing it again. So as you and I both know, managing and checking a social media account can be daunting in addition to that. So part of what my job is for these actors is just to help be another hand to keep an eye on everything that's going on. So with these comments that are coming in, or DMs, or even what is our strategy going forward to tell the world what we want to tell them, what our voice is, and also what kind of things we want to put out there for our fan base. So it's very much a strategy that the actor and I will meet together with about, and then I help carry out that plan for them. So in the very beginning, I'll have a conversation with them and see what their goals are, what they'd like, and everybody's different, you know. Some actors want help in creating some of these posts, like what are some ideas we can do with our fans to connect, and other people have great ideas and I just help carry them out for them. So it really depends on them. And a lot of what I do is, actually, I have this system of management, but in the first 6 months, I don't actually do any posting or anything like that for them. I follow them around and get to know them personally. So because I want to know what their voice style is like. So I want to see them at parties. I want to see them working. I want to see them at home. I want to see them at a restaurant, you know, and really get to know them. Because as a social media manager, I'm probably one of the closest people to their daily lives. So we speak daily and sometimes multiple times a day to make sure that the social media is genuine and going in a fluid manner. So I want to make sure that I know everything about their lives, both personally and professionally, so that I can respond appropriately or give them insight into what is appropriate. So it takes a while, especially with an actor that I'm not familiar with, so I can get to know their roles, get to know what kind of shows they've been in, and so I can recognize and flag certain things that may come through.
So you really dive deep into the core of what I would describe as the personal brand of these people.
Absolutely.
So that you fully understand who the person is, but you also understand what their personal brand is when it comes to who they are, what they do, and how they do it.
Right.
Okay, from your perspective, because if I get this correct, or if I have this correctly, you're part of their team, keeping mm-hmm. your eye on their social media radar.
Yep.
If something starts blowing up and you know they happen to be taking their kid to soccer practice and their eyes might be on the field rather than right. on their phone,
right.
you might be pinging them right away saying, hey, this thing's blowing up.
Yes.
Tell me what to say. Would you be the one answering questions, or would you be saying, hey, DEFCON 1, you need to answer this question? Or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, it's both. And again, it depends on the person and their style. So some people are more comfortable with allowing me to handle it. And some people want to be extremely involved with whatever is going out or coming in or whatever the voice may be. But either way, I am never in a position, because, you know, I absolutely believe in yeah. authenticity and being genuine. So I never... It's a personal philosophy of mine to never lie to anyone or present any kind of falsity happening. Yeah. So the answer to that is really, I'm more of an advisor. Mm-hmm. So I can consult with them and say, here's what we should maybe think about doing. What do you think about this? And it may even, the response from them may even be, that's great. Why don't you add this to it at the beginning, or add this emoji? Or, okay, that's great, but what do you think about this? Or, okay, let's take that word out, and then the post will go out. Or, will you just reply to this person and say this? Or maybe just, I'm not sure, just tell me, come up with something and send it to me and see what you think. So it's a combination of all those.
So when you're working with them to create a kind of personal branding strategy for themselves via social media, do you talk about things like how political we want to get? Do we ever talk about religion or
yes.
pet causes or charities they support? You know, all that stuff. How detailed, how deep do you go with them?
All of that stuff. We talk about it a lot in the beginning when we have our first consultation, because I really want to know what's important to them. And for my clients, I have them fill out sort of a questionnaire that answers all those things so that I can kind of, even though I may already know it, it's helpful for them to kind of restate their intentions for social media. And if we're talking about branding, it really helps for me to kind of see where they're coming from. And branding is actually a huge part of my job. Because when I take on a new client, and not just actors, I have other clients as well that are not actors. I have other public figure clients, and I can talk about that later. But some of these people actually don't have a brand yet, or not aware of it. So a lot of my job is pulling out or helping to create what that brand is. There's a lot of questions that maybe they had not thought about before. So the questions you were asking me, are there causes and charities that you want to represent? How do you feel politically? How do you want that to be public politically? Are there certain things that you want to accomplish, or certain types of organizations or groups that you'd rather want to promote, or, you know, those kinds of things? So we have all of those conversations, and as the world changes, we adapt to that as well. So we'll have weekly coachings or conversations about, well, what are you feeling about this and how do you want to approach that? Well, I feel like because of this character, because of these roles you played, or because of your work in this particular field, maybe we should think about latching on to this and doing this event and that event. So a lot of consulting and management on my end happens a lot.
Is it safe to say that anything public facing needs to go through a personal brand filter for your clients?
Yeah, and that usually is me.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Hanley, said, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts. Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, ROTOMA. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
So you really need to be absolutely simpatico with your clients on who they are, what they do, and how they do it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's, I think probably you can agree that sometimes, you know, because I used to develop websites and I don't do it personally anymore. I have a team that does it. But I often would tell people, you know, I'm great at making websites, but don't look at mine because it's the worst. It's terrible. You know, so we need people to help see things that we can't see ourselves. So that's why we have a barber that cuts our own hair. That's why we have an optometrist. That's why we have stylists. And that's why these public figures have teams of people, because it's often difficult to kind of create your own voice without an outside perspective. So a lot of my job is to see what they have on the table, put it all out there, and then kind of say, here's what I'm seeing from my perspective, and here's the big picture. Here's our roadmap to get from where we are and where we want to be in this way. And so once we have that agreement, and often I create an 8-page branding portfolio so that we can always refer back to that to see how we're accomplishing those goals. And we often revisit it to see, do we want to change that? Or if a question comes up, I'll just say, okay, but remember, this is our goal. This is where we want to be going. It's all about brand. And in this specific case, I mean, it literally is about a personal brand because these are actual people. The name is the brand. So Carlos Elizrachi is his brand. So it's a little bit different than like a business name, because you have, like for me, I'm Justin, but I own Fuzz Social. So I struggle often with what my brand is versus what I want to do with my business brand, and vice versa. So it can be challenging for these public figures and actors to see their name as their business brand, really. And that's how we have to look at it to make some decisions sometimes.
Well, I love the fact that you're going through that big questionnaire with them and really what I would call codifying their personal brand into a document that you can certainly update as necessary.
But yeah.
When crap is hitting the fan, you already know who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And you can respond very, very quickly with no fear of stepping on landmines, because you've already identified the things that make you you, make your brand you. And I applaud you for that. And I want to talk to you more about that. But we're coming to the end of the first of two episodes with Justin Baker, or
already,
Fuzz
wow.
Baker. I know these conversations go fast, man. But what I want to do is allow listeners to know how they could contact you if they were interested in learning more or connect with you via social media. What's the best way that they could do that?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, my Twitter is a unique one, and it's just Fuzz. So F-U-Z-Z. So I was early in, I got one of those short handles back in 2008. So that's Twitter. And then on Instagram, I am Fuzz Baker. So F-U-Z-Z-B-A-K-E-R. And then Fuzz Social for the company end of stuff.
Well, very cool. And let me tell you, Justin's a really cool guy who's doing something that I find so fascinating. And again, I'll go back to the anecdote that we talked about at the top of the episode. The idea that if you're a voice actor and you've got 400 followers versus another one who might be cast who's got 4 million, guess who wins? It makes total sense. And guess what? You don't have to be a voice actor to have that happen in your life too. The more connected you are, the more networked you are, the more known in your industry sector you are, the more valuable you are. And that, frankly, is the reason to create a personal brand, in my not so humble opinion. Well, that's it for this edition of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. We'll be back next week with Fuzz Baker, Justin Baker of Fuzz Social. And in the meantime, I'm DP Knutton, and he is
Justin Fuzz.
And we'll be talking to you next week. Bye-bye.